This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I'm interviewing Grant Baldwin, who is living his dream through speaking. Welcome to the show, Grant.
Greetings, Joe. How you doing, man?
I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
Doing delightful.
Let's get started by giving some background about yourself.
Well, I'm born and raised in Missouri, lived here my whole life, and growing up, I kind of felt like I always wanted to be a teenager and stay a teenager, so actually I was a youth pastor for a little bit and then got into speaking, was speaking at some school assemblies and conferences, kind of helping students just kind of process that transition. So we've been speaking, about 50, 60 events all over the country each year. Recently, we started a new podcast called How'd You Get Into That, where we're just helping people find and figure out what they want to do with life and help them find and do work they love. So yeah, that's the quick snapshot who we are and what we do.
What kind of groups are you speaking to?
Well, we speak a lot with high school and college students. So we speak at like school assemblies and college events, speak at like a lot of orientation events. But then we also speak to parents and teachers, speak at occasionally some corporations. And again, the whole goal is just helping people, you know, figure out where they're headed in life and what they need to do to actually make that happen.
So what would you say speaking means to you?
Well, you know, the thing with speaking is it's fun. It's really, really enjoyable. But the challenge with speaking is getting someone to actually take what you talk about and implement it. You know, because let's say I go speak somewhere and someone hears a talk and they're like, oh, that was really, really good, really helped me, that was great. But most likely, you know, a couple weeks from now, they will remember very, very little of what we actually talked about. So the challenge is getting people to take that inspiration and that motivation and then actually go do something with it. Because if we just talk about things and we don't actually do anything with them, same like with this podcast, you know, if we listen to it and it's like, oh, that was inspiring, that was encouraging, but then you don't actually go do something with it, then it's like what's the point? We're kind of wasting our time there. So helping people not only think some of that stuff through, but then actually implement it is a big deal.
No, I would agree. I mean, usually the lasting memory is how you made them feel. So you gotta, I would imagine you have to try to do that, is leave that lasting feeling with them.
Yeah, I mean, you want to cause people, you know, like whenever I speak, I try to cause people to laugh and think. But a big thing we ask, like we wrap up every talk with the question of now what? What are you going to do as a result of what we've talked about? Because again, like if we just talk about some ideas, but you don't actually do anything different, like we're all busy. We all have a lot going on. Like you took the time to listen to this talk or listen to this podcast or to do whatever it is or read a book or read an article or read a blog. So what are you going to do as a result of what you've read? Because otherwise you're just kind of wasting your time. Why would you spend time reading or listening or hearing something if you're not going to actually implement it or do anything with it?
So what would you say inspires you?
Good question, man. You know, I think there's different things that inspire me. My family is a big driver for why I do what I do. I'm married to my high school sweetheart. We have three beautiful little girls. So, you know, I do so much of what I do because I want to provide a great life for them. And I want my family to be inspired by, you know, what it is that we're doing and hopefully be able to inspire them. I'm inspired by other entrepreneurs and business people, like people that are just doing something cool that I come across. And it's just like, how, even like the title of the podcast, how'd you get into that? That is fascinating. That's cool. And, you know, especially with the podcast, there's so many different people that are just doing interesting work, you know, and I think it gives so many other people permission that you can do and create and become whatever it is that you want to do, but it's up to you to make it happen. So hopefully we can all be, you know, inspired by one another to keep pushing the envelope and keep raising the bar.
So how did your dream come about?
In terms of speaking, it was, you know, whenever I graduated college, I was a youth pastor for a little bit and then left that. And I was trying to just figure out, like, if I could do anything, what would I want to do? And so I'd always enjoyed speaking. I'd always enjoyed working with students. So that's kind of where I got to a point where I was like, well, if I could speak at some school assemblies or if I could speak at a couple other things, that seems like a really cool type of gig. And so I think a great lesson is finding people that are already doing something similar to what you want to do and learning from them. So I came across a couple guys who were speakers and it was just like, okay, you're already doing it. So rather than trying to recreate the wheel, tell me more about what you're doing and how you're doing it, and let me understand that. And so we just did a lot of marketing and just going, okay, we're going to be a speaker. Who do we want to speak to? What do we want to speak about? When are those events? When are those gatherings of people? And just reaching out to them and just doing a lot of, we did a lot of cold emails and cold calls and just saying, hey, here's who we are. This is what we do. I know that you bring speakers to your events, and we would love to be a part of it sometime. So, yeah, that's kind of what we've pushed for a while and kind of built our business that way.
So how was it received by your family when you told them that you wanted to be a speaker for as the occupation?
Yeah, you know, my parents have always been super supportive of just about anything I do. And I think anytime you first step out and try something that is either unconventional or may in the minds of family members be unproven, it's easy for them to be like, are you sure? Have you thought about this? You know, but the more wins you get under your belt, the more confidence other people have in you. Whereas, you know, I'd been speaking for several years. And then, you know, we decided to start this podcast. It's like, hey, we're going to start this thing and give this a shot. And if this was our first test at something, most people would be like, are you sure? You've never done a podcast. What do you know about podcasting? But when you've got a couple wins under your belt, people are like, all right, cool. You figured out the other things. You'll probably figure this out. So I think the key thing is just to start small and build up wins for yourself, for your own confidence, but just to build up confidence within others. But my parents and my family have always been super, super supportive of whatever I've tried to do. And so that's definitely made it easier to anytime I wanted to pivot or chase a new dream.
So what steps did you take to get started once you decided that you were going to be a speaker? You kind of alluded to some of that, but what steps did you personally take?
Yeah. Definitely some of what we talked about earlier of just kind of figuring out what were the types of venues and events that I wanted to speak at. What were the types of places where I knew they already hired speakers? So let's say, for example, someone listening to this is wanting to be a graphic designer. Okay, well, that's great. But if you just put up a website and you just sit there and you wait for the phone to ring or you wait for the email to come in, it probably won't. So you have to go out and find some of those things. So figuring out what are my ideal clients, where are they, when are they hiring people to do what it is that I do, and how would I get in touch with them just to present my work and to get my name in front of them. But this idea that you just kind of hang your shingle out there in whatever niche it may be, and you just hope that the phone rings or hope that people magically find out about you, it just doesn't work like that. You have to be willing to go out and hustle and drive to find people and kind of just bring them in and introduce them to what it is that you do. So that's what we spend a lot of time doing, is just kind of finding what are the exact events that I want to speak at, what are the people that I want to work with, where are they located at, when do they hire speakers, and how can I get our stuff in front of them. From there, it's just kind of proving some of that credibility and just showing up and doing a great job. So whether it be you're a speaker or you're an artist or you're a DJ or whatever that thing is that you're doing, the best marketing is just showing up and killing it. Because when you show up and kill it, then it just, again, other people are like, oh, that person's really, really good at that thing. Who designed that thing for you? Who did you have as a DJ? Who did you have as a speaker? How were they? Would you bring them back again? And when you just show up and kill it, word spreads that this thing is valid, this thing's good. So, yeah, that's a little bit of what we did, kind of get the ball rolling.
So what roadblocks did you hit along the way?
You know, I think everybody hits just whatever that thing is that you're trying to do. You just hit resistance of questioning, am I good enough? Should I be doing this? What if I just quit this and go back to the safe, secure, comfortable, whatever, 9-to-5 cubicle land? You just have those ebbs and flows, those highs and lows. And I think that that's going to be the case with anything. And so I think that the thing that differentiates and separates people who, you know, quote unquote, make it in business and those that don't are people that are just that have a balance of stubbornness. Like, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I know it's going to get tough and I'm willing to stomach it. And then also wisdom. Like, you have to be able to have just some of that knowledge of either this is working and it's not. So whenever I go through that dip, I can get the sense of, no, this is just a dip. Like, this is just a season and this is kind of a rough spot versus I've tried for 100 years and I cannot make this thing work. Then at some point you just pull the plug and go a different direction. So you got to be stubborn, but at the same time, you got to couple that with some wisdom. Otherwise you're just digging yourself in a hole.
Well, how did you overcome some of those mental blocks?
You know, I think one thing is just surrounding yourself with people that really believe in you and people that you know are doing it. So, you know, for me, whenever I got started as a speaker, just finding other speakers who were doing it, who were speaking, made a huge difference. Because, you know, again, it kind of validated the idea that, okay, that guy's doing it, that girl's doing it. If they can make a career out of this, then surely I can do it too. And again, that's kind of why we're doing this podcast, How'd You Get Into That, where we're hopefully showing different stories and sharing stories of people. It's the same thing you're doing with you know, the Dreamers podcast, is showing different stories of people who are doing something cool. And it's like, okay, if that person can do it, then surely I can figure out. Now, maybe my thing's different. Maybe I don't want to be a speaker, or I don't want to be a graphic designer. I don't want to be an artist. But this thing in me, if they can figure out how to do their thing, surely I can figure out how to do my thing. So surrounding yourself with people who are successful, people that cause you to really think and push you. And maybe it's, again, maybe it's not necessarily, maybe it's a balance of two types of people. People that you know personally, and other people is like, I just follow their work and their work is inspiring me. And I've never met them. I've never talked to them. They'd have no idea who I am. But listening to their podcast, reading their work, reading that book, reading that article, following what it is that they do, that's just inspiring, because they keep pushing, they keep driving, they keep building, they keep making, they keep creating. So again, it comes back to that. If they can do it, then surely I can figure out how to do it too.
Has there been any disappointments along the way in speaking for you?
Yeah, I mean, not every talk goes great, you know? I mean, thankfully, we've done it long enough now and given enough presentations where there's not a lot within a speech setting that will rattle us. But yeah, there's some talks that you come away from, you're like, man, that was awesome. I crushed it. It was great. And there's others where you come away from, you're like, that sucked. What am I doing? I'm a failure at life. Forget this. But I think that's just part of it. Whatever that thing is that you do, you know, that's kind of what separates people who are sticking with it versus people that are just throwing the towel. People are going, hey, that didn't work, but that's fine. What can we learn from that? It didn't go perfect, but here's some things that went well. Here's some things that didn't. Here's how we improve for next time. You take some of that, just kind of internal feedback, and you go from there.
So if you were able to be mentored by anybody, living or dead, who would you want that mentor to be?
I mean, there's a bunch of people I really, really dig. I mean, living people I look up to. I think there's a couple of different types of people you look up to. Okay, you look up to like big names, people like I like a Mark Cuban or a Richard Branson. You know, some of those type big time business tycoons and gurus. Those are people I really look up to, admire, respect. Now, at the same time, I also like to look up to people who are doing something similar to what I'm doing, but maybe just a few steps ahead of me. And people that are, I think most people, we look at like a Richard Branson or a Mark Cuban and like, man, these guys are billionaires. They've got a zillion different companies. They're crushing it in life and in work. I could never be that. And so it just seems like this totally far off, unattainable thing. But there's also probably going to be people in your space or in your world that you kind of look to that you're like, those people are a few steps ahead of me. And maybe it's a few steps or several steps, but I can see that the path of travel that I'm on will get me to that point. And so I think it's valuable to have both types of people in your world that you just look to and you're like, that's, you know, the Richard Bransons, the Mark Cubans, great big picture stuff. But I also want to find some people that I just like, oh, okay, that's the kind of person that I think I could do something similar to what they're doing and could connect with them.
So could you share a favorite memory?
You know, I've had some cool opportunities to speak at some really cool types of events. You know, a couple of years ago, I spoke at an event that was, I did the keynote for them. There's 13,000 people in this huge arena. And so from a speaking standpoint, like that, just the size of that, you're kind of standing there and it's just this huge arena and this huge setting. And so you're just going like, man, this is totally surreal to be here and just a really, really cool. It's just a cool memory, you know, to feel like I've worked really, really hard and I've given a lot of presentations and I've hustled behind the scenes when nobody knows about it. And here I am having the opportunity to give a talk to 13,000 people. That's a really, really cool memory. But so the speaking stuff, that's cool. That's nice. Standing in front of a bunch of people is cool. But memories that really, really matter to me, if I can choose anything, would be memories with my family. Like I mentioned, married to my high school sweetheart. I've got three little girls. And so I do what I do because I want to provide a great life for them and I want to create memories with them. So we are huge on taking lots of trips and creating memories as a family. So standing on a stage in front of 13,000 people giving a talk is really, really cool, but it doesn't compare to just being a dad, you know, and to being a husband and to hanging out with my wife and with my girls. So that's the stuff that really matters. Because if I'm a great speaker, if I'm a great podcaster, if I'm a great business person, but if I suck as a husband or as a father, like screw that. It's just not worth it. So I'd rather be a greeter at Walmart. But so the memories with my girls, those are the things that are really significant to me.
Well, I think you would crush it as a greeter at Walmart.
I'd love it. I always tell my wife, it's like someday when we retire, if that day ever comes, then like that's what we're gonna do. You and me, we're greeting at Walmart, babe.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
You know, I think a lot of times when people ask, hey, what do you want to do in the next 10 years? What do you want to do in 20? Where do you see your life in 50 years? It's like, I don't know. I think in some ways it's unrealistic to think too you want to think far out of where's kind of my life going and have some type of plan. I like embracing the sense of the unknown. You know, if you would have asked me a year ago, hey, would you ever start a podcast? I'd be like, no way. But right now we've got a really cool podcast going. So I think you just kind of, you have some big picture things of here's some priorities. Here's some things that really matter to me. You know, I've talked about my family several times. My family means the world to me. So 50 years from now, my family's still going to mean the world to me. Being an entrepreneur and helping other people is really, really significant to me. Now, how you do that may look different. So, you know, right now I'm really into doing the podcast thing, but in a couple of years I may wake up and be like, eh, I want to do something different. You know, if it's speaking to teenagers, I like speaking to high school students and college students, but I may wake up and be like, you know, I want to do something different. You know, some teenagers, they're weird and some of them smell. I don't want to do this anymore. So just having some sense of purpose and direction of here's a big picture where my life is headed, but without having to know like every single detail. Like it's kind of like this, like if you're, I don't know if you, maybe in some of your listeners, like you go on a road trip with your family as a kid and it's one thing to just pile in the car and you're like, we know where we're going. Like we know like the final destination, but we don't have to have every minute of the trip planned out, you know? But like sometimes moms are like, you know, we're going to drive 37 miles and we're stopping at this specific place and we're going to eat here for, and you have 14 seconds to go to the bathroom, then get back in the car and we're going. It's like every detail is planned out. It's like, that's just unrealistic. Like if you think back to your life 5 years ago, you would have never thought that your life would have ended up where it is today in every little detail. You know, there may be some big picture things where it's like, yeah, that, you know, this turned out the way I thought, but wow, I didn't see this coming and life threw me this curveball. So I think it's just good to have some idea of where you want your life to go and know some of those big rocks of the big things that really matter without feeling the need to, just taking some of the pressure off to feel the need to know, I got to know exactly what my life looks like 10 years from now, because you won't. It'll always evolve and change.
So is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
Well, I would say this, you know, I think part of the reason that you and I are doing podcasts like this is because we hope to inspire and encourage people, you know, get people to think about who they are and where their life is headed. And so, you know, I always tell people, like, whether your life is great or your life sucks, it's your fault either way. Like you have the ability to make your life great. You have the ability to dream. You have the ability to find and do work you love, but it's up to you to make it happen. And at some point you have to take action. You have to start moving the ball forward instead of just sitting and hoping that the magic permission fairy comes and grants you permission to do something with your life. So yeah, I think just as long as people understand and realize, like, you are 100% responsible for your life, which is a huge, huge opportunity and it's a huge challenge. So you have to take ownership. You have to take responsibility of where your life is headed and what you need to do to actually make that thing happen. But like people can make their life great, but again, it's up to them to make it happen.
So would you like to plug your websites?
Yeah, man. If you want, people can go to, tell you what, I know if people listen to this are dreamers. So here's a deal we put together. If people are wrestling, trying to figure out what is it that I want to do with my life? How do I actually make my dream a reality? Here's a site you can go. You can go to grantbaldwin.com/questions, grantbaldwin.com/questions. And there's a PDF there. It's just a free download. You can download of the 5 questions to help you find and do work you love. So if you're going, I'm listening to this, I have a bunch of different dreams, and maybe a big thing you're wrestling with is just clarity. Like, how do I pick which dream to pursue, and how do I figure out which dreams are realistic and which things aren't? So you can go there, grantbaldwin.com/questions. Check that out and download that. So you can find me on Twitter at Grant Baldwin. Email me anytime, grant@grantbaldwin.com. And the podcast is How Do You Get Into That.
Awesome. I'll have them all in the show notes, the howtodream.co. And I hope people go and check it out. It's a great podcast and it's a great message with great guests.
Cool, man. Yeah, it's been fun. Enjoying it and would love to have anybody stop by and check it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to come on, Grant. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, man. It was fun.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/dreamerspodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.